We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 16, entitled Krishna Chastises the Serpent Kalia, text number 11. Gavo Vrsa Vatsatarya. Gavo Vrsa Vatsatarya. Krada Manaha. Sudukha dukkita krandamana sudukkita krishne nyaste shane bhita krishne nyaste shana bhita rudanta ivata stire rudantya ivata stire Gavo Vrsa Vatsatarya Krandamana Sudukkita Krishne Nyaste Shana Bhita Rudantya Ivata Stire Gavaha, the cows. Vrsha, the bulls. Vatsatarya, the female calves. Krandamanaha, crying loudly. Sudukkita, very much distressed. Krishne, upon Lord Krishna. Nyasta, fixed. Ikshanaha, their sight. Bhitaha, fearful. Rudantyaha, crying. Iva, as if. Tastire, they stood still. Translation. The cows, bulls and female calves, in great distress, called out piteously to Krishna. Fixing their eyes on him, they stood still in fear, as if ready to cry, but too shocked to shed tears. This verse doesn't have a purport. We'll read the next verse also. Atha vraje mahotpatas trividahi ati drunaha utpetur bhuvi divi atmani asana bhaya samsinaha. In Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan area, there then arose all three types of fearful omens, those on earth, those in the sky, and those in the bodies of living entities, living creatures, which announced imminent danger. Purport by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the omens were as follows. On the earth, there were disturbing tremors. In the sky, there were meteors falling. And in the bodies of creatures, they were shivering, as well as quivering of the left eye and other parts of the body. These omens announce imminent danger. ओमज्ञान्तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरोन्मिलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापितम् येन भूतले स्वयम् रूपा कदा मह्यम् ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देऽहम् श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरोन्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपाम् सागरजाताम् सहगणा रघुनाथाम् वितां तम् सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च. हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते. तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च पासन्दोभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्णा. सो फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वुड लाइक टू सीक ब्लेसिंग्स फ्रॉम ऑल द डिवोटीज बिफोर आई स्पीक समथिंग ऑन दिस वेरी डिवाइन पास्ट टाइम. ऑफ कोर्स आई हैव बीन रिक्वेस्टेड टू स्पीक not the last moment, but the last second practically. So I'll speak something for my purification. So this pastime transports us back to Vrindavan, where this whole episode of Krishna subduing Kaliya signifies a lot for a conditioned soul. All of us are in the material world struggling with the quality of envy. Every demon signifies one anartha in our lives. And the whole Krishna Leela is to purify us of one by one of each anartha so that we can eventually qualify to reach back to the spiritual world. And Kaliya signifies envy. A person whose mentality is filled with negativity towards the Lord, wanting to enjoy in place of Krishna. That's what envy is. So if you notice what Kaliya has done, yesterday we were discussing about the city which was made inside the river. What Kaliya has done is that he has created a very comfortable situation inside Yamuna river, which is the property of Krishna, and considering that to be his. And when Krishna comes in, he considers that to be a trespass. So we will discuss this pastime from that perspective of trying to understand how we can actually deal with this situation of envy in our lives. Of course, when I speak about it, it's not that I have been able to overcome it, but it's just that the process of speaking about this quality helps us get purified of these qualities. So this particular story, it starts with a very interesting theme, which actually shows how the nature of the world is. When Krishna, of course, Balramji was not there this particular day because it was his birthday, and Krishna was alone. So when Balramji is not there, what happens is that the boys and the cows don't have somebody to direct. Balramji is supposed to represent Guru, and Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But generally the Supreme Lord doesn't hold a living entity. He allows them to go through their own experiences. But Balramji is a Guru who tells when to stop, when not to stop. So when Krishna was walking with the boys and the calves, suddenly in front they saw the beautiful Yamuna river dazzling, shining in the effulgence of the sun. So for the boys and the calves, that was a very attractive proposal. And they started running towards the Yamuna river. So when one of the names of cow in Sanskrit is go. And go also refers to the senses. So the senses have a natural propensity to run away from Krishna. So Krishna was walking with them. The cows were walking with Krishna. Suddenly the cows started running away from Krishna, thinking that the Yamuna river, the glittering shine of that river, the cool waters of the river, is going to give them a sense of enjoyment much better than what they're getting in Krishna's association. They felt that the water is going to quench their thirst. So, hankering in Sanskrit is known as Trishna. So they felt the Trishna, what they are hankering for, is not going to be available with Krishna, but is going to be available with Yamuna. And they ran towards the Yamuna river. Unfortunately, the Yamuna was Vishadushita, contaminated with poison. And because it was contaminated with poison, as soon as they reached the river and they drank a little sip of water, all of them fell dead. So the understanding from this is that when we run away from Krishna, first of all, when we don't have guidance of the spiritual master, Balramji, we run away from Krishna, thinking that something better is going to give me enjoyment than Krishna. The grass on the other side is always greener, it seems, at least, you know. So most of the time we feel the situation we are in is not enough. I feel that I need something better to be happy. That's the nature of the material world. And the cows over here, they were with Krishna where they could have got supreme enjoyment, but they thought that some other proposal is better, and they ran. So, what is the meaning of drinking this poison? In this world, poison is called vishay, wish. But the vishay of this world, which is, you know, sense gratification, is more dangerous than wish. Therefore, when somebody is poisoned, how do you deal with poison? The way to deal with poison is another poison, you know. Like when Bhima was poisoned by the by that cake in which Duryodhan fed him, and he was practically dying, and the Kauravas threw him inside the river, and Bhima was going, you know, towards the bottom of the river. That time, there was a place where the Nagas were residing. The Nagas came and bit him, thinking that, you know, some demon has come. Bhima was all tied up, and he was just, you know, unable to get out. And the snakes came and bit him, you know. And just by the biting of the snakes, the poison inside Bhima got contracted by the poison of the snakes. And then he got cured of the snake bite. And as soon as he got cured of the snake bite, he broke the ropes and he started beating up the snakes. So the point I'm trying to tell is that, of course, then Bhima went and Varunadev and the Nagaloka, they worshipped him and they gave him celestial nectar. And that nectar gave him strength of 10,000 elephants. So when he came out, he was much more powerful than Duryodhana also. So, but the point is that, you know, one poison was contracted by another poison. So he was able to save himself. So here also, the poison of this world, Vishay, can be contracted by another poison. What is the other poison? The other poison, at least for us it seems to be poison, is Sadhana Bhakti. You know, when we chant the holy names of the Lord, for us, it's poisonous. Almost like, you know, so difficult to do it. Many people ask me, you know, when I talk to them about chanting the holy name, they say, come on, is there no better process? This is such a tough thing to do, you know. And, you know, somebody was asking me, Prabhuji, when will we perfect the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra? I tell them, never. That's one thing you can never perfect. We're all used to, you know, perfecting everything, you know. That's the nature of the material mind. But the holy name is such a thing that will keep us always humble and imperfect. And because that poison is going to help us contract the poison of this world, it's an antidote. And when we take shelter of such a poison, then we get cured and come back to normalcy, right? So that we can actually find attraction towards Krishna. So right now, we find attraction towards the Vishay, and we're not finding attraction towards Krishna. So when the children ran and drank that poison, what happened to them? They all fell dead. And how did they revive? They revived by only the glance of Krishna. Krishna didn't do anything. He only looked at them. Just by the glance of Krishna, they revived. So the hope for us is that when we come in touch with Krishna consciousness, there is glance of the Lord practically in every aspect of spiritual life. And the hope for us is somehow, if, you know, Krishna glances on us, then we can... So what is the qualification for Krishna to glance on us? What did the boys do for Krishna to glance on them? The boys felt helpless. The boys were helpless. And the boys were dear to Krishna. That was the only two qualifications that they had. So for us also, if you want to experience the glance of Krishna, these are the only two qualifications that we need. One is that we need to be dear to Krishna or his devotees. And the second is that we need to be in a place where Krishna can glance at us. Right? In the association of devotees and in a holy place. So that is a hope for us. And, you know, Sukadeva Goswami, when he starts this pastime, the first verse he speaks in this pastime, he says, Vishaloka dushitam krishnam, krishna krishna heena vibhu, tasya vishudim anvicham sarpam tam udayava savat. He says, he uses the word Krishna three times in this one verse. In Sanskrit, repeating any word is a defect. If you repeat one word again and again and again, it's considered to be a defect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he pointed out to Keshav Kashmiri, he pointed out one of the defects he pointed out was redundancy, repetition of the same word two times. So here, you know, Sukadeva Goswami is doing the same defect of repeating one word three times. But this one word refers to three different people. When he says Krishnam, he is referring to Yamuna. When he says Krishnaha, he is referring to Krishna. And when he says Krishna Hina, he is referring to Kaliya. Why is he calling all the three Krishna? Because all the three were black in color. Yamuna was black, Krishna was black, and Kaliya also was black. But the blackness of these three people are different types of blackness. Krishna is definitely transcendentally black. You know, we know the story of how Prabhupada went to South Africa and told the Africans that God is black. And the Africans were very happy. You could see white teeth in their face. But the Prabhupada told them that Krishna is not black like you. He is black, which is different. So Krishna's blackness cannot be compared to blackness of the material world. Krishna's blackness is special. And Yamuna is considered to be Krishna because Yamuna is having the same color as Krishna because of constant association with Krishna. So because Krishna has, you know, bathes in her holy river, that river becomes like Krishna only in color. So Yamuna river is blackish in color. And Kaliya, he is also black in color, but his blackness is out of envy. So Krishna and envy seem to be similar, but they are exactly opposite. Krishna's blackness is supposed to be sweet, is supposed to be love. Kaliya's blackness is supposed to be envy, is supposed to be hatred. So if you, the nature of things of the material world and the spiritual world seem to be very similar. Devotees, what they are doing? They are doing exactly what a materialist would do. They may be working outside, they may be, you know, engaged in selling books, they may be engaged in so many managerial things. They seem to be doing exactly the same thing. But one is filled with love, and another is filled with envy of God. So the blackness, therefore, Sukadeva Goswami separates it by saying, Krishnaha and Krishnahina. Yamuna is Krishnaha, similar to Krishna in color, blackness. And Kaliya is Krishnahina. He is without Krishna and black. So, the kind of association that we adopt determines the kind of quality that we manifest. So here, this particular Kaliya snake, he kind of made a small territory for himself within the Yamuna river. It is explained that Yamuna was a huge flowing river, and in between the whole Yamuna river, there was a lake. That lake was what Kaliya went and occupied. He didn't occupy the whole Yamuna river. It was only that particular lake which he occupied. Of course, that lake itself was huge. It was about one yojana wide. It was situated in the southern part of the Yamuna river. And that lake, when Kali had occupied it, it became practically like his, you know, kshetra. And he probably bordered it. What did he border it with? The poison that came out from his mouth. So, it is explained that one of the ways in which Krishna is explained is that he is called as Gopala Charitam. That means he is the person who gives joy to the senses and the mind. So Krishna here, the boys are dead and their mind is exhausted and dead. So how to revive the mind which is dead, which is, you know, completely exhausted? The mind can be revived by Krishna Katha. When Krishna enters the mind, it revives again. So the material nature, the nature of the material world is to make our mind dull and dead. But the moment Krishna Katha enters our minds becomes absorbed and it revives itself and it becomes very joyful. So Kaliya, within that lake, he had created a whole civilization for himself. This is called a Kaliya civilization. You know, he created a palace within that, you know, within the river. Yesterday, Vishwaru Prabhu was talking about the Jalastamba, how Kaliya was a mystic yogi, you know, and he had created a whole palace using the water. You know, he had solidified certain parts of the water and created a palace, and he was living within that palace. And when Krishna, you know, he jumped into the Kaliya lake, what happened was, you know, the whole place got agitated. So in this world is practically considered to be like a Kaliya civilization only. If anyone goes to Yamuna now, you will say 100% it is Kaliya civilization. You know, I was there last 2 weeks back. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that Yamuna river, the same holy river in which Krishna was, you know, performing his unlimited pastimes, that river is, the Vrajavasis there told me that not even one drop of water is Yamuna in that river. Not even one drop. Can you imagine how a human being can be so envious of God? They can stop an entire river from flowing. You know, how can you, nature just flows in a certain direction. The natural things, you know, take certain shapes. If you try to stop nature, naturally nature will rebound and hit back in different ways. So Kaliya civilization was a civilization where, you know, like the river of the lake inside the Yamuna river, it became filled with poison. Right now the Yamuna river is being filled with poison from the factories, you know. So Kaliya emitted poison from his mouth and the factories are emitting fumes and, you know, waste, industrial waste. So externally what may be coming out may be products that we can use, but the reject that comes out is what goes into the Yamuna and poisons it. So what is the only solution for it is when Krishna enters. Of course, in our case, Krishna may enter in different ways. Devotees are trying to be instruments of Krishna and trying to save the Yamuna river. But in this particular case, when Krishna was personally present, he personally decided to do something about it, you know. So he jumped into the Kaliya lake. So if the whole area around that lake, every tree around that lake had got completely destroyed, dead, out of the fumes that came out from the Kaliya lake. In fact, when the fumes would rise so high that if birds fly over, they would drop dead. Practically, there was so much envy. So the meaning of this, the understanding from our perspective is that when somebody is envious, then he emits a certain amount of envy around him. And people all around him get affected by that envy. And that envy is so poisonous, it can really reach distances, you know, to affect people's lives. And all the people who get affected by that envy, they collapse like this. Envy destroys the life force within, practically. And it makes a person very, very dull in his externals. So all these trees, they were dying. But there was only one tree that was alive. Yesterday we saw about the Kadamba tree, you know. Even now, the Kadamba tree is still alive, the ancestors of the tree. Now, how is it possible that every other grass, plants, trees, birds, animals, all are dying, and this one tree is alive? That is because of Sangha, of association. This can give us a hint of how we can live in this world filled with envy. Many people say that how is it possible to practice bhakti in a world where nobody wants to practice bhakti? Our teacher is this Kadamba tree. How does the Kadamba tree manage to live in a world of envy? The Kadamba tree managed to live in the world of envy because it had got association of one devotee long back for a few moments. Garuda, he came and sat on that tree for a few moments and he was drinking nectar. And few drops of nectar from his mouth fell on the tree. And those few drops helped the tree to survive for thousands of years practically. What is it for us? From our perspective, if we want to live in a world which is filled with envy, The only hope is nectar that falls from the mouth of a devotee. What is the nectar that falls from the mouth of a devotee? Krishna Katha. The devotees are filled with nectar. They are constantly drinking nectar. You know, that's what the job of a devotee is. Constantly fill oneself with nectar of the pastimes of the Lord. And while filling themselves with nectar, sometimes the devotees are so excited, so much overwhelmed, that they share a few drops with us. And those few drops are the hope for people like us who are filled with, who are living in an association of people filled with envy. If those drops fall on us, then there is hope that even in a most envious situation, we may remain sober. We may remain unaffected. So this Kadamba tree, because of that few moments of association of a devotee, remained unaffected by the envy of the whole environment. And when Krishna jumped into the tree, like actually if you see it from this perspective, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he spent a few moments in a few places, like in Moscow. You know, Prabhupada spent 3 days, and those 3 days have created probably now, you know, more than 5,000-6,000 devotees, you know, over a period of time. Just imagine, 3 days, what can you do? Our basic course also takes 6 days. You know, and Prabhupada did, just 3 days he lived, and he created a revolution. Prabhupada once passing through Fiji, you know, he was on the airport of Fiji Island, and he was passing through from there to another country. He was not even going into the city. But while he was in the airport, he spoke to somebody, just preaching to somebody for 1 or 2 hours. And that person started at ISKCON temple, Hare Krishna temple in Fiji. Just imagine what kind of potency is there of a few drops coming out from the mouth of a devotee. It can create a revolution in countries practically. So, here when Krishna jumped into the Kaliya lake, he saw that the lake was filled with poison, you know, with Kaliya's poison. And Krishna, he prepared himself for the battle and he jumped. I was thinking, you know, Krishna is quite a dramatic person, you know. He knows exactly how to attract conditioned souls. Conditioned souls are attracted to heroism. Conditioned souls are attracted to something which is presented dramatically, right? Why do people go to movies? You know, the attraction for the movies, one of the main attractions for the movies is how the hero enters, you know. That's kind of something that people actually break their head to devise newer and newer ways of making the hero enter in a very interesting way. Otherwise, if the hero enters like anybody else, you know, it's not so interesting. So one of the themes of every movie is how the hero enters. So here, if you study every pastime of Krishna, Krishna enters specifically in different ways, just to create that same sensation and same effect in our hearts, that here is the hero entering. And in here, in this case, standing on top of a Kadamba tree, you know, huge Kadamba tree, a lake filled with poison, unlimited, you know, destruction around the lake. Not even one living entity is surviving. Dead animals, dead birds, dead plants. And here is one person on top of this tree. Everything black. Krishna is black, wearing a yellow dhoti. And a small peacock feather on his head. And then he tightens his belt, tightens his, you know, headband. And just, you know, like Vishwarupa was telling, he slaps himself and jumps. It's amazing. I mean, just imagining that scene, it creates such a, you know, effect in the heart. It creates Krishna as a hero, you know, which we are looking for. Krishna can enter that dramatically into our lives also, if we allow him to enter. All of us, at least in the beginning days, there is such a resistance to Krishna entering, you know. When I do a little bit of whatever preaching I do, I realize the first few weeks that people actually come in touch with Krishna consciousness, there is such a resistance for Krishna's entry. Such a resistance. People are actually, you know, the envy really manifests externally also. Where people don't relate to Krishna, and in fact, there's repulsion. They say, you know, we like all your, you know, examples and practical things, but this concept of Krishna as God, difficult. That's the only difficult concept people have in accepting. Everything else makes sense, but this is the essence, right? So Kaliya, he was in a civilization where he had filled himself with poison, and he had filled his whole environment, whole world with poison of envy. And Krishna now is now going to enter into it, not being invited, but forcefully. Krishna consciousness, there will never be a time where Krishna consciousness will be welcomed. Krishna consciousness most times enters people's lives forcefully. And devotees mostly act as medium of Krishna entering into people's lives forcefully. Of course, sensitively. Because sometimes when you use force insensitively, that creates repulsion. But when force is used sensitively, it creates attraction. So, using your intelligence, how to create a sense of urgency in people is what preaching is about, basically. And when Krishna jumped into the Kaliya lake, the first thing that happened is the jump of Krishna, it created a huge effect in the lake. When he jumped, he fell into the waters rose up huge distance. And it is explained that it rose up about 400 bow lengths in height. Krishna was about, 6 or 7 years old at this point of time. 400 bow lengths, such a huge distance the water went up. It's unimaginable practically, right? Even if you throw an elephant inside, it might not rise up so much. And here is Krishna, such a small boy, jumping into the water and the water rising up so high. What does it show us? It shows us that Krishna is the supreme controller, not only of the world, but of himself also. Krishna can change his weight any time. When Yashoda was holding Krishna and Trinavarta came, Krishna increased his weight and Yashoda had to put him down. And Krishna immediately decreased his weight and Trinavarta picked him up. And on top, he increased his weight again. I was talking to somebody who was telling me that I have increased my weight 8 kilos. And I want to join kickboxing to decrease my weight. I said, come on, why do you want to join kickboxing to decrease the weight? And that person was fighting with me, saying that there is no other way to decrease weight other than kickboxing. The mind was just so obsessed in decreasing weight. Krishna doesn't have to undergo all this trouble, increase or decrease his weight. Whenever he wants, he increases his weight. Whenever he wants, he decreases his weight. Most people who undergo these, weight loss programs, they do it for like few weeks successfully. At the end of few weeks, the mind troubles them so much that they end up eating so much that all those weeks of weight loss is all gone in one moment. But here, Krishna's weight loss program is very simple. Icha. He desires weight increase, weight increased. He desires weight decrease, weight decreases. So, competing with such a person, being envious of such a person, it's craziness, right? And Kaliya was thinking that he's going to be envious of such a person and get away with it. And when Krishna jumped into the water of Kaliya, and as soon as he jumped in, it created such a tremor, such a force of violence, that the whole civilization of Kaliya started shaking. So Kaliya immediately understood that there is some trespasser coming in. So, whenever Krishna consciousness enters, there is envy in the heart. One time, Vishnujan Maharaj, one of the exalted disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he was in the middle of a city in America and he was doing kirtan. They would do kirtan for 8 hours continuously, every day. This was their service, just doing kirtan all day long. So there was one man who was observing these people, very strong, big, bulky looking man, and he was getting really irritated. He came straight to Vishnujan Maharaj and started shouting at the devotees. He said, you people, you're just wasting your time. Can't you all do something productive? Can't you all do something, constructive for the society? Vishnujan Maharaj, you know what he did? He was playing mridang for all that time. He would wear gloves and play mridang. He just opened his gloves and showed him his hand. This man, when he saw the hand of Vishnujan Maharaj, he ran away, never to come back to disturb the devotees. You know what was there in the hand of Vishnujan Maharaj? Every part of his palm was cut, bruised, bleeding, practically, playing the drum all day long. This man, he was accusing the devotees that you are doing nothing, thinking that devotees are actually doing nothing. And he saw the hand of Vishnujan Maharaj, he realized they are really doing hard work, and he ran away. So there is a natural tendency to be envious of Krishna entering people's lives. So here, Kaliya, he became very envious of this, of Krishna acting as a trespasser. So just imagine, Yamuna River is Krishna's property. This fellow has trespassed and occupied a part and is thinking Krishna is a trespasser. This is the nature of envy. The nature of envy is to forget who is the real owner. So Krishna is a owner of everything and everyone. All property belongs to Krishna. And if anyone claims the property is his or hers, that's envy. And more than claiming it to be his or hers, if they say Krishna can't enter, that is manifestation of their envy, clearly. So Kaliya, he was thinking that Krishna has entered my property. So when there is envy in the heart, this is the effect that it has. You know, in I think yesterday's verse, there was a discussion about the look on Krishna, of Krishna, when Kaliya saw him. When Kaliya saw him, Kaliya saw a beautiful child with yellow silken garments, bluish body, effulgent. And he saw that this is a person who is very delicate, very beautiful looking. But when he saw Krishna, he got even more violent. Because he was thinking, this person is trespassing into my life. So the nature of envy is that the most beautiful aspects of Krishna consciousness seem to be the ones that are most disgusting. When people look at Krishna consciousness from an envious perspective, they find the most beautiful aspects of Krishna consciousness to be really disgusting. The dancing kirtan, the dancing of devotees, that's one of the most beautiful sights to behold, right? Most beautiful sights to behold. Just see the, you know, the enthusiasm, the happiness in devotees' faces. It's such a beautiful scene. But I can tell you, I know people who get disgusted by seeing devotees dance. They really get disgusted. Why? Manifestation of the envy within the heart. How can some people be happy? And happy for dancing about God? That's crazy. They may do the exact same dance with the exact same steps in a disco, you know, when there is no garden center. But there they feel that this is what life is for. But in a temple, you should not do this. Temple is meant for being very sober. Dancing is meant for discos and for us. So this envy comes out in people's hearts, you know. It's like the Kaliya snake is showing envy. The beautiful Krishna seeming ugly. So, when one is infatuated with worldly opulence, then one becomes suspicious of everyone, practically. So Kaliya was infatuated by worldly opulence of having his palace, having his property, having his disciples, having his followers, and having control. And here, he became suspicious of the person who is the real owner and real master of himself. And Kaliya, he manifested his envy by, you know, trying to attack Krishna. So, on the other hand, when we are seeing in this particular verse, the cows, the bulls and the female calves, in great distress, called out piteously to Krishna, fixing their eyes upon him. When did this happen? When they saw that Krishna is in danger. When Kaliya saw Krishna, he attacked him, bit him, and was trying to coil him, hold him together, trying to kill him. On the other hand, the cows, the boys and the calves on the outside, they're looking at the same Krishna, they're crying. They're trying to cry, but they cannot cry. Tears are just not coming out. You know, there's one deer over here, next to Gopinath, exactly in the same pose, stunned. His eyes are open, his mouth is open, just not able to do anything, just stunned. This is the pose of all the animals here. Stunned, absolutely stunned. They want to cry, but tears are not coming out only. That, you know, the difference, this is the difference between love and envy. Here are these animals and boys trying to exhibit love towards Krishna. And here is Kaliya who is trying to exhibit envy towards Krishna. The same person, in the same situation, inside the same lake. Two people seeing the same person with different visions. One seeing out of love, and one thing out of envy. This is Krishna. A combination of love and envy. Attracting conditioned souls only when their envy gets eliminated and love awakens. So Kaliya, he was trying to devour Krishna. He was trying to hold Krishna in his coils, thinking that he'd squeeze him and kill him. So Krishna remained in the coils of Kaliya for about 48 minutes. 48 minutes he was just stuck in the coils of Kaliya. And in the meanwhile, in Vrindavan, it is explained that all types of fearful omens arose on earth, in the sky, and in the bodies of living entities. All kinds of fearful omens arose. In any good movie, generally, whenever there's a fight scene, there's always music. Now here, in Vrindavan, a simple village, where will music come from? So the demigods are creating music. They're creating, you know, lightning, creating tremor on the earth, creating, you know, all kinds of, you know, emotions in people's bodies. So every person in Vrindavan is having a, not 3D effect, 4D effect of, on themselves. So this movie is such a movie that it doesn't just give you a visual effect, it gives you a physical effect also, you know. So practically the demigods were helping Krishna in his pastime by creating more dramatism. Every resident of Vrindavan was able to experience the emotions of fear, emotions of insecurity that Krishna is in the coils of Kaliya, and they were actually becoming so agitated, so tensed. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, Balramji and all the coward men who were in Vrindavan, they could realize that something is going wrong here. And they all started thinking, what is going wrong? And then they got the news that Krishna has gone towards the Kaliya lake. All of them ran, helplessly ran towards the Kaliya lake, trying to see how they can help Krishna. So the nature of love is that they are ready to die to help Krishna. And the nature of envy is that an envious person is ready to kill Krishna to live. So when the Vrajavasis entered the scene where Krishna was in the middle of the coil, so 48 minutes Krishna waited for everyone to assemble. Because this pastime of Krishna dancing on Kaliya, is a pastime which is exactly like Govardhan pastime, where every resident of Vrindavan could exchange his relationship with Krishna, could exchange his rasa with Krishna. Krishna wanted to, like, you know, yesterday Vishwarupa was talking about how Krishna wanted to attract the gopis by showing his special dancing. He wanted to show the boys that how I can, you know, dance better than y'all. He wanted to show the mother and father that, you know, you have given me so much, let me give you some pleasure. So every, the cows and the calves, he wanted to attract, you know, them by showing his gratitude by dancing for them. So he waited 48 minutes in the coils of Kaliya, waiting for everyone to assemble. And everyone gathered around. This was like a auditorium, you know, open air auditorium. And all over the Kaliya, the lake, around the lake, Krishna was waiting. And Kaliya was thinking, just see, I've managed to hold him for 48 minutes. Why not more? You know? Just when Krishna saw that house is full, just when Krishna saw that, you know, no tickets left, he decided, let me jump. Krishna shortened himself, you know, squeezed himself and then jumped off. And Kaliya, he just couldn't figure out what happened, you know, because he just thought that he had him in control. So the nature of the material world is that every person, you know, especially those who are very intellectually oriented, they feel that we have knowledge of God, knowledge of all the aspects of matter in control. We know exactly why this is happening. Just when you think you know exactly what's happening, something happens. It just gives you such a bouncer that you realize, I don't know anything. So the nature of Krishna consciousness, the nature of Krishna's pastimes is that it leaves you spellbound in the end. It leaves you helpless. It leaves you absolutely hopeless. Hopeless of your intelligence and your ability. So Kaliya, when he realized that, you know, Krishna has escaped, he said, let me try to catch him. He started jumping and trying to hold him. And when Kaliya was trying to hold Krishna, Krishna started running around, showing his transcendental agility. Krishna's transcendental agility is exhibited in everyone's lives. Anyone who tries to hold Krishna, Krishna shows that he can trick that person. When you let go Krishna and you pray, Krishna comes into your life automatically. But when you try to grasp and hold Krishna, control Krishna, Krishna is not wanting to be controlled. So he is one person who is a selfish God. Selfish God means he doesn't want you to, you know, grab him. But he wants you to be selfless. And he wants to be selfish to hold you. And if he realizes that you are really selfless, he becomes selfish and he wants to come and hold you. He doesn't want to let you away. So Kaliya, he tried his best to hold Krishna. And, you know, in the meanwhile, the whole of Vrindavan was, you know, undergoing so much of anxiety. And then finally, Krishna, he jumped on the heads of Kaliya. He stepped on one of the shoulders and jumped on his head. He's accusing Kaliya thousands of heads. Out of the thousands of heads, there were 100 very prominent heads. And those were the heads that Krishna chose to dance on. Because Krishna, he wanted to remove all the poison from his head. So the lotus feet of Krishna act in different ways. The lotus feet of Krishna are soft like butter. Extremely soft, delicate. It is explained that the lotus feet of Krishna were like a newly grown mango leaf. Pinkish orange color, you know, newly grown mango leaf. Very delicate, very soft, very small. The same lotus feet, when they hit Kaliya's head, they were more powerful than a thunderbolt. If a thunderbolt hits on a mountain, the mountain crumbles. Every hit of Krishna's lotus feet on Kaliya's head, it was practically breaking the bones of Kaliya, removing the envy and poison from his heart, from his, you know, body, throwing it out. This is what happens when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. When we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, what is Krishna doing? Krishna is dancing on our tongue. Our tongue is very much like a snake, you know. Looks like a snake also, to a great extent. Slimy, you know, pointed, and lot of times filled with envy. You know, envy against devotees, envy against Krishna, because the poison of envy is within the heart. And we use that, you know, to extract it from the mouth by biting, like Kaliya, biting and, you know, fuming. So Krishna, when we chant the holy names, what is he doing? He's dancing on our slimy tongue. And when he dances, when Krishna dances, every step that he dances is going to churn out the poison from our hearts. So many people, when they chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, they feel, you know, poison coming out. They feel, you know, lust, they feel anger, they feel envy. They feel so many of these qualities manifesting. People feel, I don't want to do it. I don't want to chant anymore. The point is, this is the time you have to chant more, because the poison is coming out. All this time the poison is within you, it is not getting a chance to come out. And here, when Krishna is personally dancing on your tongue, the poison is coming out, and you say, I don't want to do it. So the more we chant, the more we get purified, the more the poison comes out. And as the poison comes out, what comes in is humility. Kaliya, when he realized, when enough poison had come out, what he realized was, what every person realizes when envy comes out of his heart. Kaliya realized, my well-wishers were my wives, who were devotees of Krishna. When poison comes out from the heart, the conclusion that we come to is, my God, the people who can actually help us, the people who actually love us, are the devotees of the Lord. And we were always envious of them. This is what immediately happened to Kaliya. And Kaliya, he started praying to Krishna at some point. With every step of Krishna on Kaliya's head, Kaliya was getting more and more convinced that this is God. Because as the poison comes out, you get convinced more and more that this is God. People who have envy within the heart, they do not want to surrender to Krishna, because the envy is solidly manifested. Krishna sometimes purifies the person by when he chants the holy names. Other times he purifies a person by acting through material nature. When a person is envious, when a person is, you know, proud of his own abilities, then Krishna uses maya, material nature, to jump on his head. And one bang of material nature, on his head, he begins to realize, my God, I'm in a dream world. You know, now let me wake up. You know, let me surrender to Krishna. That's what the whole material world is meant for. Creating the Kaliya effect, you know, creating the dance effect of Krishna. So Krishna's dance is still going on. It's going on so many people's heads. Unfortunately, Krishna has not stamped enough on every head for the poison to come out completely. He will do it eventually. It takes some lifetimes for some people, because it is too much. You know, because Kaliya himself, he took quite a few dances on his head for all the poison to come out. So different people at different points in life experience the dance of Krishna on their head. You know, poison coming out. Let me surrender. Most people who surrender to Krishna, they surrender because they get a big kick on their heads by material nature, who is an agent of Krishna. And when you get that kick, if you have devotees around you, you know where to go. If you don't have devotees around you, you think, I'll wear a helmet. You cannot wear a helmet. because Krishna can kick through your helmet. You know? And the hope is that if Kaliya had Nagapatnis, Kaliya had his wives who are always telling him what to do. If we have devotees around us, always telling us what to do, when we undergo that kick, when we undergo Krishna's interference in our life, we'll say, enough is enough, I surrender. Kaliya was exactly in that state towards the end of this pastime. My dear Lord, enough. And you know what Kaliya prayed? We'll see that later. But if you notice, Kaliya, you know, before Kaliya, the Nagapatnis prayed. They thanked the Lord for purifying their husbands of all the envy. Kaliya just repeated their prayer verbatim, practically. Exactly as it is repeated. Because he had no knowledge of his own. You know. So the hope for us who are filled with envy is that we repeat the prayers of great devotees. And Krishna is pleased. Krishna doesn't want anything original. He wants something filled with love. And there is no possibility of love with an envious heart. So when, like Kaliya, we decide to take shelter of the prayers of great devotees and take shelter of the Lord, in a spirit of giving up envy, then Krishna can purify us enough. And when Krishna purifies us, hopefully we'll experience the same poison, which is the antidote for the poison of envy, become very tasteful. It'll seem like nectar eventually. And then we'll realize what Rupa Goswami was saying. Right now it's very theoretical. The two syllables, Krishna, it feels there's so much nectar in these two syllables that I wish I had millions of ears and millions of mouths, you know. Right now it's very theoretical to us. Because right now we feel it is poisonous. And eventually some time will come when we'll experience nectar. Hare Krishna. So, I'm sorry if I spoke anything which is beyond my realization or understanding. Very grateful to you for patient hearing. We'll stop over here now. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.